Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Live at 104.5 The Zone from Titans training camp. Day number one of practice with the full team. It's over, and there's a big storyline that took place after practice involving Titans offensive tackle Taylor Lewan. PK joins us.
Well, I don't want to make it too big, and we need to stay tuned. Joe Dubin of WSMV Channel 4, my understanding is, has video of this. Not making a federal issue out of it, telling you what happened. Lewan and Keith Carter, the offensive line coach, had a pretty heated exchange during the individual period where my understanding roughly is Lewan was in the position to play defense, you know, so he's giving somebody a rep, and Carter didn't like the rep that he gave and maybe called for somebody else. Instead, Lewan stayed in and did it again, and then he flopped, like, you know, to be funny, and Carter didn't find it funny, and so it didn't go well from there. So the reason that I'm so late and the reason this media thing took so long, and I apologize for that, was that Taylor Lewan was talking to Kevin Carter, I think for the better part of a half an hour out there, kind of hashing things out post-practice. And so I got a minute with Lewan, and again, Joe Dubin is the source of this, and I think we'll see video from him, if not on Twitter, on WSMV this evening, said that, so I asked Taylor about it separate, and he kind of, you know, smiled and said, you know, I goof around sometime and I can understand why it wasn't particularly well received at that moment. So he was pretty gracious about it, and he said it is important for us to kind of hash things out, and we did, and we're square. You know, and then I hung around to ask Vrabel about that. And Vrabel said, you know, stuff like this happens. Taylor's not going anywhere. Carter's not going anywhere. I presume they hashed it out. I now check in to make sure that there's nothing left over. And if there is, it's my job to sort it out. Also, interestingly, Lewan kind of indicated, like, he was asked, like, he didn't practice with team stuff at all. I knew he wasn't with the first team. He wasn't out there at all. And so he was asked, when do you think you'll be out there? And he said, I would kind of presume when the contract happens. But Vrabel said, you know, he wasn't here for mini camp, so we got to make sure he's ready. Everybody has their own timetable, and we'll have one for him. I said, he said maybe it's in line with the contract, and Vrabel said he's under contract, pretty much. So there could be a little haggling over that. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. Lewan said, listen, I've got an obligation to be here, and I've got an obligation to be prepared, and I need to be here to be prepared. But asked about goodwill, he said, I've given plenty of goodwill. Said, you know, somebody said, was it important to be here? Said, I've been here for 4 years. I've been here for 4 years busting my ass. So, you know, good. Taylor Lewan was Taylor Lewan today, for sure, and highly entertaining. I would think he and Carter, you know, are getting to know each other still. They're in that honeymoon phase. It's the honeymoon phase when the bags get delayed at the airport on your way back, and you're both exhausted, and the honeymoon is actually over.
Initial reaction, I didn't see it. I can't wait to see it. But my initial reaction is this is Keith Carter trying to send a message not just to Lewan, but everybody in his position group that there are not going to be any goofy moments out here.
Yeah, I love Taylor Lewan, and I can totally see how Keith Carter did not like that.
I like Keith Carter from the bit I've gotten to know him. He's one of the guys that's impressed me the most. Now, that's probably a biased thing. Like, I like the way he answered questions, and he gave me some stuff I could use. But that he's into it and you know,
but that's your first impression of the guy.
Well, my first impression of the guy is good.
Anyone out there, put yourself in Keith Carter's shoes. This is the first day of training camp with an NFL team that you just recently got this job in year one.
Yeah, it's a tough spot.
You're not going to let the star player goof around on the first day of practice and set the tone that way.
I think you're right.
And I think that's a good move by Keith Carter.
Now, on the other hand, that is Lewan's personality.
Yeah,
and I think that's how he gets the extra rep and, you know, and does that, and you laugh it off and move on.
Yeah, right? And I think Lewan is mature enough now to handle that.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll move on.
Well, he handled it in a mature way by going inside to have the conversation.
No, they're outside.
Oh, really?
I mean, they stood on the practice field. That's why initially I thought he was probably with PR and with Vrabel talking about what to talk about, right? Getting prepped for the press conference element. And then as it went on longer and longer, and I talked to Dubin, I was like, that's Carter. And they're hashing out what went down 2 hours ago during OL individual. But this is our first post-practice experience. If a guy has a tiff with his position coach every day and is out there for 30 minutes, I'm completely screwed in terms of the time.
Yeah.
Hopefully tomorrow will be much quicker, smoother, and there won't be an incident. And I don't want to call it incident. I mean, I think we need to see the video to get a feel for it is.
Yeah,
but I think it's been patched over.
Yeah, and for the record, we were talking with Wesley Woodyard, which was an outstanding interview, by the way. People are just saying, holy crap, Wesley Woodyard interview has me pounding my desk at work, wanting to go Terry Tate on my coworkers. Great interview. That from Jason. Thank you, Jason. We'll podcast that online, midday180.com.
Sure, good job by you guys.
But Lawan walked by and was kind of joking with Wesley during the interview, and he was in a great mood. So it sounds like whatever happened is over.
But there's a snapshot of the kind of things that go down. And if you happen to be a fan, there were probably some fans watching the offensive line period who saw that. If you've been here, at the very back, near the
back edge. Behind the end zone.
Offensive line do their individual work. If you were watching that, you might have seen it and heard it.
We mentioned earlier, we give some reports on practice overall. But from our position today, we couldn't see a whole lot from where we sit, Paul, because they were on the far field on the opposite end. But following your notes and following social media from the live and public practice, it sounds like Corey Davis had a good day. And Malcolm Butler had a good day.
Malcolm Butler had a very good day. Corey Davis did not have a good day. Corey Davis had two drops. Corey Davis had a good day recovering from two drops. So I was standing in the back right corner of the end zone with the offense coming towards me, red zone-ish work. They were probably at about the 12-yard line. I was standing with the Titans PR official, far enough back that you're not going to get hit or anything, but with a good angle. Unfortunately, it's a no-film period. Right at me, literally, exactly where you would want to be. Mariota over Davis's outside shoulder, so towards the sideline, a perfect fade. Davis goes up with Adoree Jackson, could not have been in tighter
right cover, or left hand.
All over him. I don't know that it was one-handed. I thought he got both hands on it. It would have been a lead right hand because it was on that shoulder. Pulls it in. Lands on his belly, slides to within 2 feet of me,
of
the guy I'm standing with. We're just looking at him, and I'm thinking, A, that was an unbelievable catch, and B, damn, if it was filmable, I would have the shot of the day, because it was literally right at me. I didn't really see Adoree's reaction. I was kind of looking at Corey collecting himself, and the offense was going crazy. Mariota ran over and chest bumped him. I mean, it was an outstanding play. I asked Logan about it, because Adoree wasn't out here, and he said, standard Logan, but it was very good. He said, our job is to make him make contested catches. He is one-handed catches. He's good enough to do it. He's going to do it out here sometimes. It's our job, really, to make him a great receiver, which he can completely be. Well, Adoree Jackson helped make him a great receiver today, because that catch is as good a play from Corey Davis, I think, as I've seen. And Vrabel said, pretty good that he could recover from the two drops. Shows you he's able to put stuff away and move on. Now, you would like for Corey Davis to have had a very good day all around. Corey Davis had Malcolm Butler rip a ball out of his hands for an interception on a short throw in 7-on-7.
Who threw that
pass? Mariota.
Okay. Because I'm watching on Twitter, and everyone was saying it was Gabbert that threw it. And then everyone corrected it.
I'm virtually certain
it was
Mariota.
I'm just making sure we get it right, because I don't want to blame Gabbert if it was Mariota.
It was a great play.
Gabbert threw it. Gabbert threw it.
It's no longer blame Gabbert. It's blame Gabbert.
Blame Gabbert. I think that's old. That's been played in Jacksonville, but it's maybe new to our era. Another one, Logan Ryan had an interception in team where it looked like there was some kind of miscommunication or somebody in the wrong spot, because it was pretty easy. Now, he said he recognized the concept and took off.
Yeah.
But he probably picked it 4 yards in front of Taywan Taylor. So I don't know what happened there, but Logan made a heads up play. Dane Cruikshank made an interception on a tipped ball and got completely bleeped out by his coach. It was tipped by somebody else. I don't think he did the right thing or was in the right place. I don't know who. It must have been Pease or Coombs. But he got the guy collects a practice interception near the goal line and turns around and gets an earful from a coach for something he did.
What, this isn't good? This isn't what you want?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah. So I'll be sure to drop this interception next time.
Yeah. So he needs to do something before that interception that he did not do, clearly. But a telling moment. Thanks to Kirby, who just repaired my reading glasses.
I'll be sure to Bleedy Ray Wilson handyman this thing next time. Don't think I haven't studied film on past Titans DBs.
Another thing, I want to get into this with Vrabel. When we sit down with Vrabel, I'm going to ask him for specifics. I'll ask him before that. He talked about situational preparedness and watching film. You know, what would I do in that situation? Is it worth the 20 seconds for us after that deep completion to get back to the line of scrimmage, or is it better to take the timeout in that scenario? And I'm very curious. This is a perfect process, midday 180 thing, about how you choose the situations, how you pick out the film to watch, if you try to do it in real time and then go back and revisit it, all of that, I think would be fascinating. Yeah. And we could spend at least 5 minutes of our 20 with him, hopefully, on that. Because I'm very curious about that. And I think that's the kind of thing that goes on in a closed door, not necessarily a closed door, but in a dark room in March, right? Or in June, when everybody is gone and he's figuring out, what's my time equation for this timeout? What's my play call preference for this dangerous scenario, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the biggest challenge probably for a new head coach, right?
Agreed. Paul, we had Deion Lewis on, and he told us he would grade himself as a C grade today based on his performance and what he expects from himself. I want to ask you to grade Mariota, but what did you think of day one, just watching him in camp?
I thought Lewis was pretty good. I think he probably was not high on a couple runs where he went outside a little bit and turned back up and didn't necessarily find space. I'm thinking of two in particular where I saw that, where it just wasn't much there. You know, I'm sure he blames himself for that, but there also wasn't much there. And I'm not into grading a running back until we see guys in pads trying to hit him, right?
How about Marcus throwing?
It got better as it went along. That throw to Corey Davis was, absolutely perfect. So I'm talking about how great Corey Davis was there and how great Adoree Jackson was there. Well, the guy that had to put the ball there for Corey Davis to make the catch and for the defense to beat the defensive Adoree Jackson, we're going to make that a thing?
Yeah.
Or are people going to think we don't know it? It's officially a thing. Was Mariota. So he made a very good throw there. I thought it's kind of up and down. And the 7-on-7 period, I mean, I think there was some good defense, but I'll put some videos out later. I mean, there were just a lot of balls that bounced. That's not good defense. That's either a bad throw or a bad route or bad timing or something. But the defender who would force it to be a bounce throw isn't there, right? The defender who would force it to be a bounce throw is the pass rusher. And the whole point of the drill is it's pass rush free passing, which means you're not bouncing a ball because somebody's in your face. So something to monitor. I felt like it was an extension of what I saw at minicamp where passing game wasn't clicking. But it's a very small sample. You know, we're talking about 8 to 10 passes.